This is an iHeart podcast.
Whatever team Fia is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Monday, oh my goodness, it's such a good Monday. I'm so happy to be sitting here with you. We have an amazing show for you. And yes, of course, I'm going to hit the big news of the day. We are going to talk about violent crime, cities, Trump taking over D.C. We're going to discuss Democrats. They continue to cuss and continue to take positions that are out of control and completely unpopular. Mexico's cutting back on tomatoes. I'll praise them for that. The Democrat Party's in very deep trouble. They also opened up the border. Bill Gates sucks. We're going to do emails. Josh Hammer is going to join us halfway through next hour to talk the legality of all these things, and Medal of Honor Monday's coming up 1 hour from now. Before we get to any of that, let's talk about the news, and it is going to take a while to sort through this. We're going to have a long talk about countries, first impressions, cities, communism, violent crime. Trump gets up today and says, D.C.'s mine now.
I'm announcing a historic action to rescue our nation's capital from crime, bloodshed, bedlam, and squalor, and worse. This is Liberation Day in D.C., and we're going to take our capital back. We're taking it back under the authorities vested in me as the President of the United States. I'm officially invoking Section 740 of the District of Columbia Home Rule Act, you know what that is? And placing the D.C. Metropolitan Police Department under direct federal control. And
I got it. You already got it. You found out this news a long time ago, earlier today. Okay. All right. So let's clear something up right now. Cities being violent, filthy places, full of murderers and rapists and homeless people and all the other ugly stuff in a city, that is not built in with a city. We Americans because we live here in America, we believe that that's what cities are. People who live in cities listening to me right now, maybe that's you. They think, oh, well, yeah, that's, look, it's going to be that way, right? You don't go out after midnight. People who live in a rural area like I do, maybe that's you. Well, yeah, that's why I don't go to the city. But I have traveled quite a bit now, courtesy of the United States Marine Corps, and then did a little bouncing around afterwards. I've been to a bunch of cities that are completely clean. Cities around the world where I didn't see a single homeless person. Cities where the animals weren't hurting people at night. It's quiet, it's clean, it's lovely. I was in Florence. I was in Florence, Italy. And Florence, Italy was so immaculate and so safe. We were with our boys. They were, I think they were 16. I think they were this age. Because we just went 16 and 14. If not, they were 13 and 15, but they were that age. Ob and I wanted to go around the block, have a little dinner by ourselves, a little sandwich. Boys said, hey, can we go out? 14 and 16, European city. We said, well, you got money? They said, yeah, we have some money. Well, bye. And off they went. Went out. Walked several city blocks, had dinner outside by themselves, came on back to the hotel, didn't so much as sniff a crime. That squalor you see all over American cities. Last time I went into New York City, I walked down into the subway and I had to step over several homeless people. At one point, stepped into a puddle of pee just right there in the subway. That squalor is a choice. I want to make sure everybody is crystal clear on that. I want to make sure you are crystal clear on that. That video you watched this morning or yesterday or last week or last month, I don't know, there's a new one every day, of some animal pushing someone in front of a subway car, punching out a woman, stabbing people. That is a choice that was made. It is not a byproduct. It's not an accident. It's not just the way things are. It is a choice that was made. In America, the Democrats who run our cities have made a conscious choice to make sure they are a haven for the most disgusting, despicable people on the planet. And that's why you can't send your daughter to New York City for graduation. That's why, because it is a conscious choice that has been made. Now, we will come back to that conscious choice and why they made that conscious choice, because I want to focus on a slightly different part of what Trump said today, and it goes to something I've talked about so many times before. Job interviews. I'm not changing the subject. Just stay with me. Remember when I went on that rant last week about job interviews? 10 minutes. I told you how to ace a job interview. Show up on time, dress your best, shut your mouth and listen, you know, all that stuff. But let's talk about dressing your best. Why did I say that? Because I want you to have to go spend a bunch of money? Nope, doesn't even have to be a nice suit or a nice little skirt or whatever you're wearing, ladies. Does not have to be that. I said dress in the best clothing you have. Why? Because first impressions really are everything. They are everything. When you walk into a restaurant, it happened to me a couple weeks ago, I'm not going to name it. Walked in, it stunk like someone hadn't cleaned out the dishwasher in forever. I see Ob's face, nose curled up, turn around and left. Not even any point in eating there. Food could have been the best thing ever. Ruined. Gone. Goodbye. First impressions. When Trump talks about meeting Putin in D.C. being disgusting and that mattering, he's 100% correct.
And it's embarrassing for me to be up here. You know, I'm going to see Putin. I'm going to Russia on Friday. I don't like being up here talking about how unsafe and how dirty and disgusting this once beautiful capital was.
Do you know Here's a little history tidbit you may not know. You know what Washington, D.C. is. Maybe you've been there, but if not, I know you've seen pictures of it. All that white marble, those beautiful buildings. It's cool, isn't it? I've encouraged you to visit and still encourage you to visit. Take your kids. One time, don't stay more than 2 days. Go see the monuments. Go honor the Vietnam veterans. Go see the new Korean War stuff. Go see the stuff and then get out. But it looks cool, doesn't it? It looks almost intimidating. Why? Did you know that was done on purpose? Our founding fathers and men who came after them, who built up D.C. Now, these are small government people who would be mortified at the size of D.C. now, I should point out. They'd be mortified at the strength of D.C. now. But they knew in order to make a good impression on foreign dignitaries, they needed to build up a capital of this country that made us look good, that made foreign dignitaries walk into it and go, wow, this place is amazing. Dang, these Americans sure have it together. I've told you before, what's on the billboard of your country in other countries, meaning in Saudi Arabia, in Tokyo, in Russia, in France, in Peru, when there's a billboard for America down there, and there are. You know what they don't show on it? I'm sad to admit. They don't show Montana, where I'm from. You know what's on the billboard? New York City. Washington, D.C. Los Angeles, Miami, Seattle, Chicago. Dallas, Austin. Big cities are on the billboard. You can hate the city all you want. They are on the billboard of your country, and people around the world get an impression of your country and my country based on the condition of those cities. You know, I want to go to Turkey. So does Jewish producer Chris. Why? We flew through Istanbul. I didn't even leave the airport. We were there for what, Chris? Couple hours, maybe? Couple hours. It was immaculate. The airport was immaculate. The airport personnel were dressed to the nines, pleasant. And you know what we drove? You know what we flew away thinking? Wow, Turkey seems nice. I want to come back. First impressions matter a lot. When foreign dignitaries come to Washington, D.C., we just hope they don't get peed on or shot. It's a really big deal. Now, let's dig into more. It is intentional. It is a choice. Let's talk about why. Now let's talk about history first. That's what I love, as you know. I'm a history freak. I'm probably going to start working on another history show for you here. Until then, you know you have something to tide you over. You know the geniuses at Hillsdale College will teach you about history at no cost. Just like this show. Just like this show. You can go to hillsdale.edu/Jesse and learn about Sparta right now. Hillsdale will teach you. They have multi-part series on the Roman Republic. Maybe you want to focus more biblical stories in the book of Genesis. Have you ever wondered the circumstances around those? Why don't you let Hillsdale teach you at no cost? How many things are free out there now? hillsdale.edu/Jesse. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show with me, Bronco Kelly. And I should let you know, I forgot to mention at the open of the show, it's my fault. I was looking for some new beef jerky this weekend, and I came across this package called Bronco Billy's. I didn't actually buy it, so I don't know if it's any good or not. But I decided Bronco is a great name, nickname, and I'm stealing it. And so now I prefer to be referred to as Bronco from now on. I might even change my name on my driver's license. So here is the Bronco Kelly Show, and we are going to continue our talk about Trump and taking over the cities and the squalor. And I already went over at the beginning of it that first impressions matter. It matters that our cities, and it's not just D.C., it matters a lot that New York is going down the toilet. that Chicago is going down the toilet. It does matter. Even if you'll never visit, even if you think you hate that place, it matters. We want to have beautiful cities and beautiful country. It matters. To say nothing of the innocent people who live there and suffer there. It matters. So I mentioned that it's a choice, and it very much is a choice. In case you doubt that, let me go ahead and nerd out and do something I try to never do to you, but let me read you just a couple numbers. This is courtesy of, what's this website called? Numbeo, where they crunch whatever numbers you're looking for them to crunch. There are roughly 700,000 people in D.C., 700,000, 800,000. In the city of Tokyo, which I mentioned earlier, there are 14 million. Now, let me read you some crime numbers. The level of crime in D.C., 70. Tokyo, 21. Worries about your home being broken into or things stolen in D.C., 52. Tokyo, 21. Worried about being mugged or robbed, D.C., 57. Tokyo, 21. Worried about being subject to a physical attack because of your skin color, ethnic origin, gender, or religion, Tokyo, 26. D.C., 43. On and on and on. Oh, final one. People using or dealing drugs. D.C., 65. Tokyo, 24. Why? Because Democrats did that to our cities on purpose. Because big cities have been ruled by Democrats for ages, and Democrats intentionally fill up cities with crime and criminals. And it's gotten so much worse in recent years. Now, we are going to get to that. I'm going to rewind a little bit first, and then we're going to go chronologically why and how it got worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And there's going to be all kinds of offensive stuff in here. And do keep in mind, I don't care if you get offended. You're welcome to email love, hate, death threats, or what you're offended about, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Let's rewind to just basic communist revolution, because this is going to be a huge part of it. Why do communists like violent crime during the revolution phase? Once the revolution is complete, they'll shut it all down and just shoot everybody in the face. But before that, why do they want people murdered and raped and robbed? And just please keep in mind, stop saying soft on crime. They're soft on crime policies. That is the dumbest, most inaccurate branding I've ever heard in my entire life. These cities are not full of crime because Democrats spilled the milk on accident. Oops, did that rapist hurt another woman? I had no idea. They did it on purpose. Stop saying soft on crime. It's pro-crime. Anyway, why do communists love it? I've used this example. Let's use it again. A stable family. Maybe you have one, maybe you don't. Picture a stable family, mom, dad, kids, a stable, happy family. What if you're an evil person who wants to destroy that? Communists are trying to destabilize society, but what if you want to destroy that? There is no easier way to shake up the stable family than violence of some kind. If that's your family and I'm an evil person and I want to break it up, I'll burn your house down. I said, how's the family doing now? Oh, everyone's stuff. You're moving into a hotel. I got to commute extra to work. I lost all my clothes. Are you as stable after I burnt your house down? What if I introduce a violent dog into your home? Hey, take this rescue pit bull. He's lovely. Oh, sorry. Did your child's hand get bit off? How stable is the home now? What if I start vandalizing your home when you're gone? Every time you come home, I've spray painted something. I'm throwing rocks through the windows. Do you think the husband's going to start snapping at the wife more? The wife more at the husband? You think the kids are going to... Destabilization. the best way to bring destabilization into a stable situation is violence. And communists understand that so, so well. If you don't have anything moral keeping you back from doing violence, and you're fighting a revolution, well, there's nothing better. Absolutely nothing better. We'll continue on this in a moment. Before we do, another thing our cities do is they murder babies en masse. Millions and millions and millions of them. These abortions, the large percentage of abortions in this country take place in the cities. It's the Baltimores, the Buffaloes. So how do we fight back against that when you have this central hub of evil? You put a clinic there, a pro-life clinic, where that young woman finally gets a real choice. You see, she's on her way to get an abortion. But what if she goes in for an ultrasound that doesn't cost her a dime? Isn't that appealing? It's not just Chris who loves free stuff. What if she goes in for a free ultrasound? That's what preborn gives her. You and I have to pay for it. $28 is what the ultrasound costs. Go look up preborn. Go look up their charity rating. You're not giving to some slush fund for some dirt ball. They are on a mission, and you, the Jesse Kelly Show family, have already saved thousands of lives. Thousands of people walked the planet today because of you. Preborn.com/Jesse is where you give. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
What I told people, I was making a podcast about Benghazi. 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show with me, Bronco Kelly, here on a wonderful Monday. Remember, you can download the show on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Now, back to, I already brought up violence. Communists love street violence because it destabilizes a society. George Soros, and many like him, I should point out, didn't spend millions and millions of millions of dollars to elect these pro-crime DAs just because they're soft on crime or they're reimagining police work. No, it was done so we could have more murderers in the streets. It was done so we could have more rapists in the streets, because the more murder and rape and theft you have in a society will destabilize it. That gives people an appetite for new management. It gives people an appetite for revolution. You get to step in as the filthy communist and say, man, these stabbings are bad. Why don't you let me help you out? If you want a perfect example of this, that's why Democrats love mass shootings. They love them, and don't let anybody convince you otherwise. They're never sad. They're never bummed out. They're sitting back gleefully clapping their hands when a bunch of kids get shot. That's why now they can't even wait till the bodies are identified before they're running to the podium. Hey, man, this is a really terrible mass shooting. I'm super sad. Anyway, give me your guns. Violence gives them an opportunity. And occasionally you'll have some useless hunk of skin like John Cornyn join them and pass gun control legislation when they do this. But for the most part, we have opposed it. They love violence because violence gives them an opportunity to move the revolution forward. And they have taken that opportunity. What Donald Trump did today, bringing in the National Guard, he's taking over, essentially taking over the DC Police Department. Democrats are afraid. They're very, very afraid. That's why you've seen this all over the news today.
And you really did hear the president paint quite a dystopian picture of Washington, D.C., saying that it was overtaken by violent gangs, by bloodthirsty criminals, using this imagery that doesn't necessarily comport with a lot of people's experience in this city, but also with what the actual numbers show. You know, statistics do show.
Oh, we'll come back to the statistics thing in a moment. MSNBC, here was them.
One of the things that we have seen over and over from the president, from his team, you know, Stephen Miller saying it's like Baghdad and Ethiopia. They seem to hold their harshest criticism sometimes for cities that are majority black and brown.
Pulling out the race card. He can't fix the crime here. That's racist. It was Dana Bash, maybe the most hilarious thing I heard all day.
And just as we go to break, I should note that the most violent moment in recent history in D.C. was January 6th. And it was an attack on the United States Capitol by a lot of people who were doing it in the name of Donald Trump. And it included the people who were hurt, included members of law enforcement.
So why are they upset? We'll get back to the stats in a moment. Why are they upset? They're actually upset for two different reasons. First, we already laid it out. They want violent crime. They wake up, they see a rape, they see a murder, they're happy. They know it helps the revolution. That's one. Two, what if Donald Trump, the National Guard, what if they clean up D.C.? If they manage to clean up the crime in Washington, D.C., then the American people may just have the scales fall from their eyes and they'll realize what you and I just got done talking about. Our cities don't have to be like this. You mean we can just arrest criminals, keep them in jail, and the crime goes away? You mean we don't have to have homeless people all over the place, peeing, doing drugs, stink, miserable? You mean we can run them out of the cities and we can just, I don't know, even take our kids and live there? Visit? Enjoy ourselves? What if Donald Trump takes one of the most violent cities on planet Earth and makes it safe? How does that make Democrats look in Los Angeles? How does that make Democrats look in Oakland, in Austin? How does it make Democrats look in New York City, New York City that's about to basically get apocalypse when Mandani gets elected, how does it make them look? And that brings me to this, the statistics. I'll let this one play this time. I cut it off last time, but you've seen many Democrats. Violent crime's going down. Violent crime's going down.
And you really did hear the president paint quite a dystopian picture of Washington, D.C., saying that it was overtaken by violent gangs, by bloodthirsty criminals, using this imagery that doesn't necessarily comport with a lot of people's experience in this city, but also with what the actual numbers show. You know, statistics do show that violent crime in Washington is falling since reaching a peak in 2023. The president's aides dispute some of those figures. You heard the president come out saying that some of those statistics might have been cooked. But really, when you look at the numbers, what the president is painting is...
Remember how we've talked about Antonio Gramsci before? I'm not going to nerd out too much on history. Just stay with me. The Italian communist Antonio Gramsci. And what he talked about, the long march through the institutions. We've had this talk many times before on the show. You didn't wake up one day and the communists controlled the CDC and FBI. That didn't happen all at once. It took American communists decades and decades and decades working their way through the university system, through the political system, through corporate America. And one day you see America's corporations, they're donating to Black Lives Matter? Hold on, the FBI's infiltrating the Catholic Church? What the? This doesn't make any sense. They marched through the institutions. They took them over. There's a lot of reasons they marched through the institutions and took them over. But one of, if not the main reason you take over the institutions is it gives your lies legitimacy. It gives your lies legitimacy. Remember, communists have to lie about everything. You already know that. We talk about it all the time. They will lie about everything. They believe they have to, and they do for the most part, because you can't sell anything that evil if you're telling the truth. But if you take over DC and you turn the animals loose on the streets, Black Lives Matter and all this other crap, and all of a sudden murders are through the roof, people are getting everything broken into, it's the worst place in the world. What do you do about that? You certainly can't arrest criminals. That doesn't work. Well, remember that story we read last week? DC commanders, police commanders, will show up after a violent crime and downgrade it. They lie. You simply lie. And once they lie, then because they've conquered the institution, it gives the lie legitimacy. Remember when the FBI said violent crime is down nationally? And we all knew that had to be a lie because we could see it everywhere. And it turned out the highest crime centers in the country didn't turn in their numbers. Hey, New York, you got your violent crime numbers? Dog must have ate my homework. I don't have that. All right, well, crime went down. The communists took over the institutions because the institutions owning them gives the lies legitimacy. It's why you've seen Democrat after Democrat after Democrat, politician, media people, news, print come out and say, well, violent crime's been going down. Violent crime's been going down. Nobody who lives in D.C. thinks that. Everybody knows it's bad. It's really bad. But again, when you're fighting a destructive revolution, you have to lie about everything. There's one more thing they did, and then we'll move on, maybe do a couple emails, and we'll get to Medal of Honor Monday. You know, Bronco does what Bronco wants on Monday. What, Chris? Don't roll your eyes. Speaking of violent crime, though, they are everywhere. They're everywhere now. Democrats have turned them loose on this society. How are you going to stop one when he comes for you? What is your plan? More importantly, probably, what's your daughter's plan? You going to send a defenseless baby girl off to college? Or your son? Don't think it's just women. Guys get ganged up on all the time now. What's his plan? Hope for the best? Get a Byrna launcher in everyone's hand in your family. Everybody. Go buy five of them. BYRNA. The beauty of it, they're legal in all 50 states without a permit or a background check. They'll just mail it to your front door. SWAT teams carry them. Private security firms carry them. And millions of individual Americans now trust Byrna. It will stop a bad man in his tracks. Tear gas balls or kinetic rounds, whatever. I'll be honest, I like the tear gas balls probably the best, but put in whatever you want. BYRNA. Hope is not a plan. Make preparations. Byrna.com. Byrna.com. We'll be back.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, fantastic Monday. Remember, you can email the show, Jesse at JesseKellyShow.com. We got Medal of Honor Monday coming up 10 minutes from now. Josh Hammer is coming up halfway through next hour. I want to ask him about the legality of all this. I just want to make sure the judges aren't going to step in and screw up all this taking over DC stuff. And I am going to ask him about this, too.
And if we need to, we're going to do the same thing in Chicago, which is a disaster. We have a mayor there who's totally incompetent.
Can they go in to other cities? We'll see about that. All right. So one final word on this. This was from last week, but there was a 28-year-old piece of trash in Baltimore. And outside of it were two pro-lifers, old men. 73 and 84 were the ages of the men. This 28-year-old on camera, you can go look at it. I don't know that I'd recommend it, but you can go look at it. Goes and beats the living crap out of them. Shoves the first one over and then turns and just crushes the other guy so that he has a fractured cheekbone and a shattered eye orbit. And he just destroyed him. They basically let him out scot-free. They let him out. I mean, he was convicted, 2 counts of second-degree assault, but they let him out scot-free. 1 year of home detention and 3 years of probation. Another reason Democrats love violent criminals, on top of all the other things we laid out, is they're an army. They're a standing army. Remember that Democrat? Remember that vice mayor last week we played the audio of in Los Angeles County who had one too many margaritas and got on camera and started calling for Los Angeles street gangs to start assault? Remember this? Remember this?
Not for nothing, but I want to know where all the cholos are at in Los Angeles. 18th Street, Florencia. Where's the leadership at? Because you guys are all about territory, and this is 18th Street, and this is Florence, and you guys tag everything up, claiming hood. And now that your hood's being invaded by the biggest gang there is, there ain't a peep out of you. It's everyone else who's not about the gang life that's out there protesting and speaking up. We're out there, like, fighting our turf, protecting our turf, protecting our people. And, like, where you at? Dude, they're running amok all up in your... on your streets. So don't be trying to claim no block, no nothing. If you're not showing up right now, trying to like help out and organize, I don't want to hear a peep out of you once they're gone, trying to claim that this is my block. This was not your block. You weren't even here helping out. So whoever's the leadership over there, just get your members in order.
Violent criminals are seen by Democrats as foot soldiers, and they operate as foot soldiers. There's only a small percentage of any society in anywhere that are actually criminals and violent criminals. Even bad neighborhoods. I know, look, pick your bad neighborhood. I know it's easy to look at it with every window has bars on it. It's easy to look around and think they're all criminals here. They're not. It's a small percentage. Democrats view them as the tip of the spear. Just final word, it's a choice. Our cities are violent and disgusting because Democrats did it on purpose. Remember that. Dear Mr. Meat, tonight was burger night for the family. We made the world famous Jesse Kelly burgers from your book, still available at jessekellybook.com. We have had this box of Red Lobster Cheddar Bay biscuits in our pantry for a while now. So I made the executive decision to make those biscuits as our fresh buns. Oh my gosh. The whole family was obsessed. I think I may have found the only possible upgrade to your burger. Even Chris can eat it, even though it's technically Red Lobster. Hey, Chris, can you people eat that? It's a biscuit, but I thought you couldn't. I thought you people couldn't do meat and cheese. Is it real cheese? It's Red Lobster, Chris. Of course it's real cheese. They only use the highest quality ingredients. I'm sure it's real cheese. But we could. What if we substituted something good like Velveeta? What about Velveeta? Seriously, can you people eat Velveeta in meat? Because I think. Velveeta. I don't think Velveeta is real cheese, Chris. Look, I'm Mr. Velveeta, all right? Bronco loves Velveeta, but buddy, it stays good for a really, really, really long time, like an uncomfortable amount of time. I don't think it's real cheese, but I think you're in the clear. Talk to your rabbi is all I'm saying. Talk to your rabbi. Anyway, the guy said I may have found the only possible upgrade, and so on and so forth. Look, I want you to know, I took a music class once in community college. Did I ever tell you this? It was a class on music, all the way from classical up to rock music and things like that. And there is one thing I learned, and it was just an entire semester of this. Whatever your favorite music, whoever your favorite musician is, whatever your favorite band happens to be, they're probably wonderful, but they also built off of the foundation that was given to them by bands before them. And then that band built off the one before them. And then that band built off of the one before them. I want you to build on my incredible genius. I, out of the goodness of my heart, it took a lot of hard work, a lot of effort. I created the world's greatest cheeseburger. But I am not a selfish person. Bronco isn't like that. I want the world to not only know it, to improve upon it. If you can throw them on Cheddar Bay biscuits, I think that's a great idea. The only thing that I've expressly forbidden is vegetables. Do not, it is not a salad. Don't start throwing lettuce and tomatoes and everything else on my cheeseburger. It's unacceptable. It ceases becoming my cheeseburger if you start putting vegetables on it. Vegetables are disgusting. It's about the meat and the cheese and the bun. Now, enough of that. Let's step away and honor a hero before we come back and talk more politics. Democrats are in some serious trouble, and that's going to be fun to discuss next.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.